and welcome to the A-Bod. I'm Count Fargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, in our special holiday show, see what I did there? Holiday? We're going to look at three, in a very special episode, we're going to look at three episodes in which Santa murders people. But in order to make this more difficult for ourselves, we weren't allowed to watch Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. How did it go?
Okay, before we start, I just want, this doesn't have anything to do with the horror movies or anything like that.
Yeah.
But with respect to the holiday show.
Sorry.
I find the notion of the holiday tree to be extremely offensive.
Really?
And insulting. Yes, absolutely yes. It is so offensive to me.
So
it's
if
a Christmas tree, call it a fucking Christmas tree. Don't call it a holiday tree.
I'm right there with you. I've never called my tree a holiday tree. Although
it is so culturally insensitive. And it makes me so mad when people do that.
Aww.
It really is.
That's so sad. But my attempts to be inclusive have gone all cackywampus, largely because there are no movies in which a Hanukkah-themed monster kills people.
Well, like, the holiday, I would call it a holiday show, but don't call it a holiday tree.
Okay, no holiday tree, but we can still
but
have a holiday show.
All the movies we watched are Christmas-themed, so I guess it's a Christmas show.
Although one of them is only barely Christmas-themed. But that's a conversation we can have as we get there. But
yes.
Before we get there, I believe we have two pieces of random crap to address.
Yes. Okay. First bit of random crap. I watched the Expendables 2 trailer earlier today.
Okay. Three. Continue. Oh, right. The trailer's out. How does it look?
It was the most exciting minute and a half of my life.
Oh, my God. Was it an explosion shaped like a trailer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I'm
and
so
new,
excited.
There are new Expendables this time around. JCVD is in it. I guess
nice.
He realized the big mistake he made when he turned down the part the first time.
Now, losing a part to Gary Daniels can't feel good.
Chuck Norris is in it.
Oh, I'm so excited about Chuck Norris being in it.
Thor is in it.
Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, I thought you meant Thor the rocker. Okay.
No. What?
Yeah, that's impossible.
it was a really good time watching that movie trailer. We watched it twice, actually. We were so excited. Like, high-fived each other, too.
Wow, that's actually pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. I'm not going to watch it, but I am very, very excited to see the movie. But I'm not going to watch the trailer because I'm weird that way. No?
It's just like, well, you're not going to.
It's
not
going
to
spoil.
It's just.
It's going to spoil
of action stars
part of
and their names. That's it. That's the.
Okay. So has this become the Ocean's 13 of the action world?
I don't know.
Is that what this is going to be? Just like every couple of years we get a new one with even more celebrities just dropped in for no good reason? Because I'm okay with
that. I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we're all very excited about this one. Because come on, like we're not going to cover an Expendables movie. Okay. So what else happened in our world this week?
We got some viewer mail.
Ooh, I love viewer mail.
Yes. Juliet writes, from some of my DM's comments in last week's show, it sounded like we didn't know that My Name is Bruce was filmed on Bruce Campbell's property near Medford, Oregon.
We did
so,
not.
Yeah, she thought she'd mention that to us. We didn't know that. Thank you very much, Juliet.
That is super interesting. Thank you for filling us in. Bruce Campbell, you're a cool dude, and apparently you own a bunch of property in Oregon. Like, that is just weird information to have. Okay.
Okay. I'm just, it's all me this week. So again, this doesn't have anything to do with horror. But a friend of mine, he's made a short film, which I've seen, and it's great. It's hilarious. It's comedy. It does feature a ventriloquist dummy.
Ooh, creepy.
Which are very creepy, so I could use that as a bit of a tie-in to genre stuff, if need be. And I'm just going to take a moment right now to promote his movie called What's With the Dummy, and I'm going to provide a link. Everybody should click it and watch it, and they'll have a good time.
Oh, promotion. I respect you. All right, that's great. So now can we move on to the thing that we really have to talk about this week?
I guess so.
A little show called American Horror Story.
Can I tell you something?
Go.
I didn't watch it.
What's wrong with you? So this is how messed up this show is, okay? I just want to stress, like, what a just complete and utter messed up wreck this show is.
What happened? Fill me in.
Literally, it was an entire episode devoted to telling us things we already knew.
Oh, like a recap.
Yeah, but they acted like it was dramatic. It's not like it was trying to fill in the audience. Like, I assumed that there was some mystery as to who the rubber man who impregnated the wife was.
Yes.
I assumed that that was meant to be somehow mysterious, because okay, I've seen fiction, and those things tend to be a mystery. But in episode 3, we saw Tate walking around in the rubber man suit.
No, we didn't see Tate. Or did
actually, we did. He walked around in the rubber man suit without the mask on.
I already forgot.
Yeah, and I assumed that that was supposed to be some sort of a misdirect, but no, that episode was just telling you who the rubber man was. It wasn't a mystery. It was just, no, it was Tate. Not a big deal. Don't worry about it. Like, there was nothing to think about, nothing to figure out, nothing. This episode, and this is the thing that's going to blow your mind, I hope, was entirely devoted to two things. One, having, the backstory of how the gay couple died, which we already knew. Mm-hmm. But it's like a whole episode about the relationship of these characters, but we already know every bit of their relationship.
Yeah.
So why are you giving it to, like, why are you giving us more? And if that wasn't bad enough, right? Then, all that happened was the co-ed that the dad had an affair with, we spent like 15 minutes with her as she just talks about wanting to get revenge on this horrible family. And the thing is, we already know what her motivations are. We already essentially know what her plans are, and we know that, you know, this baby is evil. So they're just telling us stuff we already know for 40 minutes. The one new thing that happened was that last week when she saw the dead people, right, who had attacked...
You have to clarify, when Violet saw the dead people?
No, when the main character, when the wife saw the dead people who had attacked them in the episode Home Invasion in the car, and the sister saw them as well, the daughter saw them as well, she now lied and said she didn't see them, because if people find out there are ghosts, she would lose her boyfriend, Tate. So the mother got sent off to an insane asylum. Because she was claiming she's seeing dead people.
Wait. So the...
Yeah.
Vivian, that's her name.
Thank you, Vivian, yes.
Vivian's been packed off to the loony bin?
Yeah, because she's claimed that when she found out that her husband never wore the rubber man suit, she claimed she was raped by a mysterious man in a rubber man suit, and that seemed pretty crazy. And then she started announcing that there were dead people everywhere, and they were being attacked by ghosts.
Okay,
she knows she's seen the owner of the house and all that, and her husband, of course,
just skated over.
Well, the show just drops that all in the last minute.
The whole point of this episode, entitled "The Rubber Man," was supposed to be about. Didn't you? Isn't that what this episode was? The revelation that Tate is in fact the rubber man?
No, but my point is, he tears off the mask dramatically, revealing that he's the rubber man, but that's information we already had, because we'd seen him casually walking around in the rubber man suit.
Yes, I'm taking issue with the fact that you didn't mention that at all in your recap of this episode.
Oh my god, I did say that Tate was the rubber man and they treated like it was a surprise. You can't claim I didn't say that. I may not have given it the gravity you feel it deserves, but you know what? Not
did
the show.
And also, like, you spent the past 6 weeks guessing who the rubber man is.
Because I thought it was supposed to be a mystery. But in the second episode, they're like, no, that's Tate. And apparently we were just supposed to interpret that as, yeah, what seems like it's going to be a mystery. No, it's not a mystery. It's just, we're telling you. Oh, this show. What is wrong with it?
So, apropos of nothing, Vivian just starts believing in ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, last week she staunchly refused to believe that very same thing.
Yes. No, there's nothing that's good about this show. You're not wrong to be very, very sad about this show. It's very questionable.
I'm not sad about it.
Sorry, perturbed by it? Disgusted by it? Insulted by it? Like, what is the best term for how we feel about this show?
Irritated.
I think irritated works.
I am irritated by this show.
That'll work for me. I'll take that.
With the show, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's not getting any better, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And can't say I'm looking forward to next week's episode, which I'll watch tonight. Oh, no, wait, is it tomorrow night? When does it air?
In Canada?
Yeah.
On Mondays?
Oh, I guess it'll be a little... Oh, no, wait, it aired last night. I can catch it on the TiVo. All right, so I think we can stop talking about American Horror Story, which only I watched, which only I suffered through.
In my defense.
No, I think a more appropriate in my defense is, in my defense, I didn't want to watch American Horror Story. And I don't think anyone could begrudge you that.
In my defense, it sucks.
There you go. See? Just be honest about it. I'm fine with that.
All those things are true. I was busy. It does suck, and I don't want to watch it.
All right. So now we have actual movies that we did want to watch to talk about. So let's hit that.
Right. Okay. So as the count said, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm sorry.
What?
Anonymous just walked in wearing her new ski suit.
Okay.
And I can't really share this with anybody. But it looks amazing!
We're just going to take your word for that and move on.
She says hello.
All right, so, show.
Okay, so, back to regular scheduled program. As the cat mentioned, this is our Christmas episode, or holiday episode, or Christmas-themed episode, in which we watched three Christmas movies, none of which were Silent Night, Deadly Night. But they do all feature killer Santas in one form or another. So our first movie this evening is a little gem from 1980 called To All a Good Night. It's Christmas time in sunny California, and a handful of students at the Calvin Finishing School for Girls are staying over during the holidays. Their boredom is alleviated by the arrival of some fine young men, but their fun turns to horror when people go missing and bodies turn up.
Oh, no, that's the whole plot. Okay. You did gloss over the referencey opening.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. This is one of the many, 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 many ripoffs of, you know, Prom Night. Prom Night / you know, I guess Halloween opening with a murder in the past. But I guess the main difference is that some movies open with the a murder introducing the killer, and others open with a murder where someone falls off a precipice, creating the innocent who died, motivating this the murders that are going to happen this time. So Friday the 13th opened with not with Jason drowning, but using the Halloween model of the first kill of the killer, Whereas Prom Night opened with an innocent victim getting killed, that's obviously going to be important to the plot later. Although no one in this movie, like, ever mentions that character who dies existence. Right up until the killer is revealed, which
and
I...
That only happened in the, like, the time... universe of the movie, it only happened 2 years before the events of the film. So it's not like it's ancient history.
I know, you'd think it would come up at some point, but it never does. I actually thought that was pretty funny. Although I'm sure it wasn't intended that way. Do you think it was intended? No, of course not. All right, so what is there to say about this movie? It's got a killer Santa. It's got a person walking around in a Santa suit.
It does have a killer Santa. I had this movie ruined for me.
By?
Not by the internet, actually.
Oh.
By reading about it on Wikipedia.
Oh, it gave away all of the secrets?
Right at the start. Right at the top of the article. So,
so
yeah.
Like, it would be like if in Friday the 13th. It's like, this is the movie about a mother who is avenging her dead son and only appears in the last reel of the movie.
Exactly. It's like that kind of thing.
Terrible!
Here's how the movie ends.
Oh, my God. Well, I suppose, I mean, this movie is not important enough that we have to be worried about spoiling it, so I think we can...
Well, I hesitate to call it a twist because it's not, but there's just something... There's the predictable ending that you're just waiting. You spend, you know... 90 minutes waiting for, and then there's a little something extra.
Yeah, I and I wanted to actually talk about the little something extra, so I guess we are going to do some spoiling, because there's a moment in this movie actually did two things that I really, really enjoyed and was not prepared for in a, you know, 80s slasher movie. All right, so I'm just going to list those. Thing number one. Okay, I shouldn't be so dramatic. All right, thing number one. There's a scene where the chief of police, right, shows up to deal with these missing kids, because a bunch of kids have gone missing and the local groundskeeper has been murdered, okay? And he says, all right, I'm going to want everyone to stay out here in this isolated location and I'll leave some cops with you until we figure out what's going on. And of course, and he doesn't seem alarmed enough that in addition to the brutally murdered groundskeeper... Four children are missing. You know?
Teenagers.
Four teenagers are missing. Like, he does not seem alarmed enough considering the fact that there's a brutal, like, there is not, let's get all the cadets down from the police academy and scour the woods looking for it. And so at that moment I'm like, okay, either this is a terribly written movie or he's the killer. And so his reveal as a killer later in the movie, I actually super enjoyed. Because I thought that he couldn't be the killer, because there was one character who was so obviously the killer. Oh my God. And so I was very happy to see that, yeah. No, there were two killers, which I thought was a nice twist. And that's the one thing I really enjoyed about this movie. And there's one other thing I super enjoyed about this movie. Which it has a character who I'm going to describe as the most sensible man in the history of slasher films. I assume you know what I'm talking about. You don't?
The groundskeeper? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my God, the nerd!
Oh God, no. I have my own ideas about that nerd character.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say what I enjoyed, and then you can tell me why I'm wrong, okay? So, late in the movie, the nerd character, when, you know, horrible things have started to happen, the nerd character essentially says, you know what, I'm just going to hide and see how this shakes out. Just like, he essentially crawls into a closet and hides. And then once, you know, the final girl is fighting the Santas, then he, like, sneaks out while the villains are occupied and gets a weapon to help and helps. And I just love that he's like, no, I think I'm going to sit this one out. I really respected that. So that was, A, the thing I really liked. And then, and this is the part that I super enjoyed, at the end of the movie, the two of them walk out of the House of Doom and they notice that there was one other survivor who's gone nuts and is singing to herself. And the woman is like, we got to go back and help her. And he's like, no. Let's leave and let a professional worry about that. So they do. I'm like, yes, way to go, guy. You really, you know, you're far more sensible than almost anyone who has ever appeared in a slasher film. But anyway, you wanted to criticize him, so go.
Okay, here's the thing. So, these girls invite these boys over, to party with them.
Yeah.
And this nerd character, he's a virgin. And he ends up, of course, having sex with one of the girls. And the next day has transformed into some brave, studly man who wants to talk about sports.
I know.
When the night before, all he could do was talk about, you know, the cool stuff he read in his brain science textbook. And it's just, like, it is the most, I know, unbelievable transformation. Yeah, no,
it's ridiculous sexist nonsense. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But and the whole thing is just horrible gender politics. Totally agreeing with you. But I just liked his sensibility towards the end of the movie.
So it was just like, I'm not usually that sensitive, and especially not in a movie this bad. But at the same time, it really prevented me from enjoying the movie and really getting into it. Like, okay, just the awful, weird sexism.
You know what?
And these women will sleep with anyone.
And actually, I did in, and this is going to sound horrible and sexist. I just love that it's like, oh yeah, we got a bunch of guys coming up. And it's literally like one of them, their boyfriend's coming up, and he's just brought six other guys for these random women to have sex with.
Yes.
Like, what is that? Is that a thing they did in college in the 80s?
And it's very convenient that they all pair off, and then one of the women, Leia, the one who goes nuts at the end of the movie, she sleeps with a bunch of other people that, like, they're all, like, these women are whores. Like, total.
Oh my god, they're slut
bag whores.
It's ridiculous how slutty they are.
With the exception of the final girl, who is named Nancy, by the way.
Yeah.
She's the only one who doesn't have any sex in this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, there's seriously a scene in this movie that I just could not believe at all, where it's like, you have one job, and that's to make sure a murderer doesn't show up and murder these teenagers. And instead, and it's like, and the teenagers understand.
So what do you do instead? Sleep with the teenager.
I know, and it's like, and the teenager who sleeps with them understands that there's probably a murderer running around that he's supposed to be protecting her from. But no! What? So yeah, I had quite a few problems with that part of the movie. Oh yeah, I mean, there's endless things to complain about in a movie this bad, but I just thought it was worth singling out that someone was unusually sensible for one of these movies.
Well, it's weird though, because he's there in one scene and he's gone in the next, and this is towards the end of the movie where, you know, we're down to, I think, four survivors at this point.
Yeah.
And one of the survivors says, like, oh, you know, what happened to Chris? And then for the next 20 minutes,
I know.
Chris just isn't in the movie. And it's not like we saw him make the decision to go and hide. He just shows up, you know, in the last 5 minutes to save Nancy. And then they, you know, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I hit.
Yeah, I know.
Like, well, I thought you just exited the film because you were done.
That would have been fun, too, had he just, you know, checked out of the movie.
I've seen a movie in which that happens.
Really?
Yeah, this fun guy who's supposed to, he's a main character, and I suspect was actually supposed to be the hero. He checks out.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Spring Break Shark Attack.
Wow. Way to go, Spring Break Shark Attack. Now I've got to see that thing.
I think it's that one. It's that or some other Spring Break movie.
Oh, man. That sounds great. You're like, oh, no, Jesus. I'm checking out. Yeah, he goes with the, and I'm going to have him add, I'm going to have to add him to my list of, like, the only sensible characters in the history of horror movies, which are now the guy from this movie, and of course, one of the main characters from The Hills Have Eyes, in Hills Have Eyes 2. He's like, I am not participating in this sequel. And he's the only survivor for that reason.
But the other, the revelation, though, of the second Santa Claus killer.
Yeah.
I didn't, that came out of nowhere for me.
Completely left field.
Totally out of left field, and I didn't buy it.
No, it's not at all believable that, oh yeah, okay, so the cop is also the father?
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense at all. But, like I said, I was just happy because it did fix a plot hole in the movie.
But there's this really
weird...
This movie is weird, okay? Never mind the fact that it's, like, it's badly written and not terribly well acted and all the rest of it. It's just, there's some really weird moments in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the groundskeeper just walks into this young girl's room. Through the window, I might add. Just makes himself at home.
Yeah, and no one seems to make a huge
fuss. How much he likes her and
that.
Cares for her. Nobody's got a problem with this. She's not freaked out by it at all. Then, later on, when after they discover the body of the groundskeeper and the police arrive, the chief of police or head detective or whoever that guy is supposed to be, he gives this little speech about how he's going to find the killer and make him pay. And takes this girl's face in his hand.
What was that?
This really weird, bizarre, intimate moment. And it's so unsettling.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was supposed to be.
And it's oh God. Like,
so creepy.
But not creepy because he's really the killer. Creepy because it's wildly inappropriate.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's an odd movie for a lot of reasons. But not a completely worthless, well, pretty close to a completely worthless movie. But like I said, I'm giving it half a pass for having one moment that I genuinely loved. Nope, I'm checking out. Enjoy your horror movie, girls. I'll be in the closet.
Except that, you know, he doesn't, that's all after the fact.
I know, you're right. It would be better if we saw him going to hide in the closet. I agree.
Yes.
But it is just half a wonderful scene. But it is half a wonderful scene, which the rest of the film cannot boast. So, I say give it that. At least give it that. All right, so I think we're ready to move on to our second movie of the evening.
Yes, our second Killer Santa movie tonight is Sint, and we were told about this movie. I guess it was a year ago.
Yep.
Simon Savory clued us into the existence of this film, and it's a Dutch horror movie. So, it's December 5th in Amsterdam. St. Nicholas Day Eve. But this year, it's a full moon, and that means a severely pissed off immortal saint is terrorizing the city instead of handing out presents. That's it.
Oh, you weren't going to do the backstory bit?
Well, I figured it's something we can kind of maybe get into that a little bit more.
Yeah, because they do the film opens with the secret history of Santa Claus, because he was a...
St. Nicholas.
Yeah, and apparently the term saint was meant ironically because he was a bloodthirsty pirate.
No, that's not it at all.
I know that wasn't it at all. That's just how I'm terming it. Because, you know, a guy runs up on a pirate ship with a group of privateers.
For Christ's sake, that's not it at all. In the backstory, St. Nicholas is a bishop, and he has arrived in town to collect his tithing.
Yeah, and it's
and when he doesn't like what the townspeople have for him, he steals their children.
No.
And puts them on his boat and takes them to Spain. The townspeople have had enough of this. The backstory takes place in 1492. And they have decided that they're not going to put up with his bullshit anymore. And they burn him on his ship.
Which I got to say, I did really enjoy.
Yeah. Yes. No, so you understand. He's not a bloodthirsty pirate. That's
I know he's not technically a bloodthirsty pirate, but, you know, he's on a ship.
Not
he has guys with cutlasses.
Figuratively, not literally, not metaphorically.
I enjoyed the pirate imagery of the guys with the swords and the crustiness. But that's me, okay?
But they're not pirates.
I know they're not literally pirates. I still enjoyed it.
But it's not it's not meant to be pirate imagery.
Well, I think a guy coming to, a bunch of guys coming to sack the town is pirate imagery, thank you very much.
I don't think so, because he predates piracy, that kind of piracy.
Well, yes, but he doesn't but that kind of, the whole idea of these guys with beards showing up in town and, you know, taking your stuff, I could call it Viking imagery then. A place.
And I guess they're taking your children.
Vikings take your children. You kidding? They were huge slave traders. What are you talking about?
Backing the town, though. He just, St. Nicholas shows up with his black Peters and steals your children when there's a full moon in the sky on December 5th.
All right. Yes, and that is what he does. Let's stop debating the historical Santa Claus and start talking about the one who appears in this movie. So, the evil St. Nicholas. Your thoughts. Go.
Well, this is a very Dutch movie, because it's Dutch culture and Dutch sensibilities, which I don't know a lot about. But I did know that they had St. Nicholas Day, and I did know about the tradition of you leave a gift for him and his horse, I think, and then he brings you gifts, and then there's Black Peter. If you're a bad kid, Black Peter puts you in a sack and puts you on a boat to stay. I was familiar with all of that. So I liked this movie. I enjoyed it.
So did I. I thought it was a very effective slasher film.
It is, and it really is a slasher, like in the, you know.
In the purest sense of the word.
Purest sense of the word, exactly.
Yeah, like he's just coming in to brutalize people.
Yeah, and it's like, he's a good looking villain, and he rides a horse across the rooftops.
Oh my god, there is a scene, and I mean, there is a broadly comic scene in this movie that I just absolutely, normally in a slasher film, I kind of roll my eyes when we get to the broadly comic stuff, but when that horse gets shot and crashes into a building,
yes,
I just enjoyed the hell out of that. I was quite surprised to see that happen in a movie, especially with what happens right after. But as you said, it's a Dutch movie with Dutch sensibilities. Oh my god. And, you know, they've got a guy, they've got the Loomis character who's obsessed with Santa and has tried to learn his weakness because of a previous history with Santa.
I don't think you should call it Santa.
Oh, okay. With Saint Nick.
So you could say Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaas, sure. But I think the thing that's most interesting about it is it's kind of there's no real rhyme or reason to who the kids he seems to be targeting are. Like, it's not like these kids are, we have any reason to believe they're especially bad. And that was the one thing I had questioned about the movie. And it's like, he's in town to steal, like, 300 children, which I thought was a little excessive. But
he steals all the children. This is the point. They say it early in the film. It doesn't matter if you're bad or if you're good when it's a full moon.
Yeah. He comes and he gets all of the children.
Evil Sinterklaas, and he comes. Coming for everyone.
Yeah, he comes to grab as many of the kids as he can. And apparently, but he also murders some teens who we've been following kind of arbitrarily, which I found a little weird that he picked on these teens arbitrarily. And I kept hoping there would be some explanation for, well, why these teens and not some other teens.
Well,
but
he
that's
probably picked on other teens, but we're just following these ones.
Yeah, maybe. No, you're.
He seems to just kill at random.
He does kill pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Non-specifically. You know, like, he doesn't really care.
With impunity?
I mean, he literally has no target in mind. I know there's a better word for that than randomly, but you know, that's not what we're here to do. Discuss the correct terminology for mass murdering Santas. I actually really like the little conspiracy nod. The idea that maybe Santa Claus shows up. Sorry, a Sinterklaas shows up every 40 years. And steals a lot of children, and the government has to keep it hushed up. it's kind of a weird direction for it to go in, but, you know, I enjoyed it nonetheless.
But, you know, they see it through, though, because this film, I mean, for its slasher conventions and its sort of, its, you know, broadly comedic moments, it has, like, quite a downer ending.
Yeah. Oh, completely. And it addresses, as you said, it addresses the implications of what this would actually mean for the society they live in. Like, what would it be like if there was a mythical Santa running around stealing children every 35 years? Well, you know, people would not want to know about it. So the cops would think it was their duty to, you know, kind of cover it up and see if they could deal with Santa and not do a very good job. I guess the only thing that... they want there to be a twist, because there's the one cop who's obsessed with tracking down the Santa that killed his parents, right? And stole his siblings.
Saint Nicholas.
Okay, Saint
like
Nicholas.
More than one evil Santa Claus.
All right. You win. You win.
There's just one, and all of
his black Peters. And I guess what bothered me was, if there's this giant conspiracy, you know, to hush up the Santa thing and try and deal with Santa, I feel like instead of marginalizing the guy who was obsessed with Santa, maybe like putting him in charge of the Santa force the Sinterklaas force might have been the better move. Because they want there to be this twist. No, really, there was a big obsession with Santa by the cops, and that guy, you know, had been right all along. And I'm like,
but that's not what it is, though. The conspiracy to keep Sinterklaas quiet, to hush it all up, isn't run by the police. I don't have anything to do with that. That's the government and the church.
No. I know it's not technically the police. They have
But the police don't have anything to do with it at all, because there are policemen on the force, presumably. They don't know anything about it, and they weren't around 30 or 40 years ago when the last full moon was, and those who were believe the press. Was put out back then. They believe the spin that the government put
There was
on
a crazy murderer out there.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that. I'm just saying, I feel like they would have found this guy and be like, hey, you know, we could use you for our anti-Sinterklaas task force.
Because if you put together an anti-Sinterklaas task force, you're accepting that there is a Sinterklaas problem to begin with that needs to be dealt with.
Oh, I'm saying there is an anti-Sinterklaas task force.
It's easier for the government to just pretend that he's, you know, he's a harmless, crazy old guy close to retirement anyway.
I know, I totally see. I just thought that, you know, but that's that many years ago. This guy's been doing all this research, find out a way to fight Santa. I think they could have used his help.
Just he's a lone loon on the police force. No one's gonna give him. No one's gonna believe him anyway.
No. But
and
I'm
he
just
has
saying.
A ridiculous story.
I know.
About a bishop from the 15th century.
No, I see your point. I'm just saying the people. I felt like the people who knew he was right could have used him on their team. That's all I'm saying. Because there were people out there who knew he was right. What's that?
There isn't anyone in this movie who knows that he's right.
The church and the government do.
They're not a presence in the movie.
They are a presence in the movie. We do see them. Like, they show up. The guy who shows up to bribe the main character at the end and keep the whole thing quiet?
Oh, at the end of the film, but they're not there through the rest of the movie trying to keep a lid on things.
No, I didn't say... I didn't say they were. I'm just saying if there was this force in the government and the church trying to keep...
No, but what you're suggesting is rewriting the whole movie.
I guess I am. There, you caught me. I'm suggesting rewriting the whole movie. I'm just saying that if there's this covering up force who doesn't like Santa and would rather be rid of Santa, Sinterklaas, God... Maybe they should have had some involvement with this crazy guy. That's all I've been saying. I don't think that's unreasonable. No? Is that unreasonable?
No. It's not unreasonable, but I think that would probably open,
many,
you know,
many different. Yeah, it would take the movie in a whole different direction than it went in. And you know what? It's only an 80-minute movie, not counting the credits. So you're right. This film was not a film with giant. Okay, I guess I'm trying to say that I found the premise and the world interesting enough that I would have liked to see a bigger exploration of it. But for a film with modest expectations, it completely fill modest sorry designs. It completely fulfills what it tries to do as an effective, you know, supernatural slasher film.
There you go.
Is that what you were hoping I would say? Have we put teeth long enough to get me to just endorse the movie? Is that what finally happened?
So difficult.
Apparently so.
Anyway, thanks to Simon for suggesting this movie to us a year ago.
We had a great time. We really enjoyed the movie, and we look forward to covering his company's movies in the near future.
Okay, let's move on to our third and final movie of the evening. This one comes to us from Finland. It's called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. In the days leading up to Christmas, a team of excavators drilling down into a mountain makes an incredible discovery. Pietari has also made a discovery of his own about the true nature of Santa Claus. When the mountain discovery gravely impacts life in Pietari's small community, the little boy is the only one with any idea how to save his friends and, by extension, the whole world.
Okay, so this is the Santa movie that got a lot of press last year.
Yeah.
And people talked a lot about it, and I completely understand why. What a fun Spielbergian romp.
I don't know if I would call it Spielbergian.
I thought the way it focused on a child and discovery.
Yes. You know,
the
but
child
it isn't...
discovering something supernatural. It just it had a Spielbergian dark fantasy Gremlins ET kind of feel to me.
A little bit of that, but I think it didn't have the same nostalgic quality as
okay.
Spielberg movies tend to do, and also there's only one kid. which I think is important.
No, you're
because absolutely. For Spielberg it's a real disconnect between the children's world and the adult world.
Yeah, whereas this one, the kid is always helping out with his father. He's very much
and in this
father's
one, it's this child. He does live in his own world because he's an only child and he doesn't have any friends. And he's got this one stuffed animal that he carries around with him all the time. And that's actually a very cute and very sweet characterization.
Yeah.
But it's not. He's living day to day in his father's adult world.
No, you're completely right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not downplaying that aspect. But I just thought the themes of discovery and innocence and things along those lines were worth putting the Spielberg-y line on it. But I understand how you're right. It does feel quite different than a normal Spielberg-y kind of movie. Mm-hmm. I'm totally agreeing with you on that one. But I did – that's not to say I didn't have a great time with it. I did enjoy it quite a bit. I mean, it is – it's got a lot going for it. It has one hell of an interesting backstory.
I really like this movie.
I know. It's just good. It has such a wonderful turn.
I wished it were longer, actually. So we could
yeah, this like the last
more.
One. Yeah, the, like the last one. This one is just 80 minutes.
No, it's less than that.
Is?
Yeah, it's. I believe it's 73.
That's
without
crazy.
The credits.
Oh, without the credits. Okay. It's a very short movie because it sets up the simple premise. We know the guys are digging. We have a feeling of what they're looking for. And then there's a massacre. And the cause of the massacre winds up in an elk pit on the kid and his dad's property.
No, it's a tiger trap.
Tiger trap, yeah.
But, dug for fools.
Oh, right, because they need wolves to protect the reindeer, to protect the reindeer that they use for their sustenance from the wolves. And a guy turns up in it, presumably.
Didn't make any sense, by the way.
Yeah, they need tiger traps to protect the reindeer that are the basis for their local economy from the wolves that live in the general area.
There you go.
See, that was much clearer the second time.
Yes.
I don't know why I fumbled that so badly. And this is the part where, unlike the last two movies where we were comfortable spoiling everything, I think every plot development after they find a man in their...
Tiger trap.
Yeah, after they find Santa in their tiger trap, I think every development in that plot should be discovered by the people watching this movie. Because...
And not ruined by us.
We're not going to ruin this movie. I'm comfortable. Like, Sint is what it is. You know, it's a slasher movie. Unless we're going to describe all of the kills to you, we can't really ruin that movie.
No, but Rare Exports definitely, as you, it's a movie about discovery. A number of discoveries are made over the course of the film.
And all of them are fascinating.
And they're all, they just get better and better.
Yeah, they really do. Oh my god. And there's a couple of visuals in this movie that it's like, and the reason I went to, and I think people who have seen Super 8 will understand why I talked about, you know, post-Spielberg-y kind of feeling. Because there's a shot in this movie, well, a couple of shots in this movie, and a premise in this movie that is what Super 8 was trying to do and, you know, was not very good at compared to how deftly this movie handles it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I'm not going to say what that reveal was, but if you see Super 8, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've seen Super 8 and then watch this movie, you'll know exactly what I was talking about. Oh, that was such a, I mean, you got to admit, that was a great shot.
Yes.
Oh, so cool. Oh, and I can't, honestly, like, I don't know where a sequel would go, but I almost want there to be one.
I don't know. There can't be.
There can't
be. Given how the movie ends, there can't actually be a sequel.
Actually, to quote The Simpsons, everything is wrapped up in a neat little package at the end of the movie. So I don't know exactly where it would go in a sequel, but it's like, I want more of this story.
Well, this is
so
why I kind of wish the movie were longer, because it's so interesting and it's so creative.
Oh, God, it's so... Yeah, like, honestly, our hats are off to the guys who made this one. It is just a treasure. You know? I really recommend Rare Exports to everyone, especially... And, I mean, again, I am towing the line of spoiling quite closely, but I'm not going to go over it. When you discover why the movie is called Rare Exports.
Rare Exports.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. But, yeah, that was quite a turn.
That was great.
I'm like, what, seriously?
Okay. Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, I thought that was quite a nice turn. And you know what? I loved it. I think I'm going to watch it every Christmas. It's a very fun movie. And I think we're safe recommending it to everybody.
Absolutely, yes.
It might not be Gremlins, but it's a wonderful Christmas movie to watch.
Yeah, sort of an off kilter. And yeah, not your typical Christmas movie, not your typical killer Santa movie either. It's something a little different.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't, and this is the most pleasurable thing, you don't know what it is walking in.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where the movie is going to go. Because like I said, you know, Santa turns up in a guy's tiger trap, and you kind of figure you know where the movie's going from there. You don't! And by the way, how jaded do you have to be to, like, watch a movie? Oh, great, Santa fell into the tiger trap. Yawn. I guess we all know where this is headed. I can't stress enough. You don't know where this is headed, and it is going to blow your mind. Yeah, be prepared to love this movie, okay? Because I think everybody loves this movie now. Okay, so do we have any narcissism to watch?
Yes, we do. I got around to writing a proper review instead of just posting about articles that I read, summing up other people's work. I posted a review of Sint, so I encourage you to stop by zombus.net to read up on that. And I think also today went up a short little blog piece about Christmas music, because I hate Christmas music.
But you love Christmas trees. Fascinating.
I don't have a problem with Christmas trees.
No. I'm just saying it's fascinating that you hate Christmas music. Although then again, you have to spend time in a store, so I think most people.
Well, no, the benefit, I have a lot of reasons to like my job. Not least of which is the fact that I can play my music when I work.
Oh, okay. So you're not.
I don't have to listen to Christmas music.
I have friends who are handed, you know, the CD that they have to play in the store all day.
Yeah.
And so for like 6 weeks, all of them have just been listening to repeating jingles and terrible, you know, Glee covers of Christmas songs.
Well, that's just it. But yeah.
Yeah. So I see how that would get tiring, but you don't have that problem. So I don't know what you're bitching about.
Have you been to the mall? Have you turned on the radio? It's the same shit every year.
Sad part is I haven't done either of those things.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. All right, so over at Vargelon.com, home of the Vargelon, you can find my last pieces of pre-Christmas content that I all posted like 6 months ago, and I have no idea what they are. Because I was on vacation, so I haven't actually looked at the blog in a couple of weeks. But the point is, in addition to all of that, I'm going to do, as always, my two Christmas and New Year posts about important, wonderful comic book stories. One of which is my New Year's post. Shush. The greatest golden age story that was ever written, and you're going to find out about it on New Year's Eve over at Vargelon.com or New Year's Day. I don't remember which. So be prepared for that. Do we have poll results?
We have poll results, yes. Last week's poll was, are prequels just a big waste of everyone's time? And we have a three-way tie and a clear winner. So the three-way tie is between All the Time Yes, big waste of time. Nah, not really a big waste of time at all. And, you know, I kind of liked The Scorpion King. The clear winner is that prequels are a conspiracy dreamed up by the liberal media.
Okay. I know that answer is completely wrong, but wow, I'm so glad it won. Oh my god. All right, so on that note, I think we're going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Festive yes. Kwanzaa, and whatever other religion stuff you follow.
Festivus.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep that one down. I celebrated Canadian Christmas this past weekend, and it was, you know, joyous as always. Oh, Canadian
Wait,
Christmas.
I'm unfamiliar with Canadian Christmas.
It's the Canadian practice of getting together the weekend before Christmas to exchange gifts with friends.
Oh, I understand. Okay, because I celebrate Jewish Christmas, of course.
Yeah, that's roughly the same thing.
No, Jewish Christmas? You don't know what Jewish Christmas
is. Jewish Christmas is going Chinese food and movies.
Yes.
Yes. Jews go to movies day. I do know about that. Immortalized in the Robert Smigel cartoon, Christmas Time for the Jews. Oh, I love that guy. All right, so until next week when we're going to be covering New Year's Eve themed horror movies. I honestly don't know what we're doing.
We might not be doing anything.
We might just be playing a pre-taped show. Who knows? I mean, I'm not fussy about Christmas, and the Dive Miss isn't fussy about Christmas. So there might be a new show. Who knows? But either way, until then, thanks for watching. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.